just hasn't recovered from the Alabama game. It's still scratchy. And then the Lions game was luckily very easy this week, you know, whatever. And then, like, the beginning of the national championship game, you know, Edwards breaks the first one, and I yelled, and my voice just broke like I was going through puberty. And I was like, uh-oh. I was like, all right, this is what I expected to have happen. They're going to knock the socks off these guys. And then he breaks another one, and I yelled again, and I was like, that hurt. So I was, you know, kind of tempered. Of course, their offense helped, you know, helped give my voice a break for a while. The most perplexing undefeated team I've ever seen. Like, they would have beat the brakes off of everybody if their offense didn't take at least half of the game off.
Mr. Penix, it did nothing to help himself that game.
He got so spoiled being at Washington, he forgot what it was like to have pressure on him. When he was in Indiana, he had no line in front of him. That guy was running. That's how he kept getting hurt. I mean, he was running all over the place. Well, now that Michigan's getting – Michigan, you know, I don't think they actually recorded maybe 2 sacks in the game. But they got the slightest pressure on him, and he panicked. He missed wide open shots.
Michigan's non-existent offense for part of that game really did help get aided by I couldn't believe. I'm like, dude, I'm sorry. Like, Michigan was pressuring him, but I'm like, you had time for that, man. Like, there were so many just high and wides, and I'm just like, that this one's on you, dude. Like, that is not on your receiver. Like, you really should have thrown that better.
Yeah, he didn't complete, I don't think, one pass of 20-plus yards the first time all season. And the one he did, and I agree with the call, was a very sketchy holding call. And I was like, oh, no, he actually didn't complete that one. I take that back. It was a pass interference on Michigan, so they had to redo it. But I think that was the one at least. But, yeah, the game went pretty much how I thought it would go. And then, you know, but they're still – it's just been burnt so often in the past that they're still – they're up by 2 touchdowns. Washington's driving, and I'm like, there's 4 minutes left. I'm like, the game's over. Essentially.
I will admit the interception. I'm like, I can go watch the rest. I can kick Raw on here. Like,
I started crying.
This thing is over.
He intercepted it, and I started crying. I missed the whole run back. I mean, Elise is like, he's running it back. He's running it back. I had my hands over my eyes. I was like, it's finally over. And then it was just the long, grueling wait for it to be. I'm like, stop giving him first downs. Like, just come on. And then, you know, then it ended with as it should have. So, and then, you know, obviously I was up late celebrating. I wasn't even dry. I didn't drink, that's for sure. And, no, I actually didn't. But my phone was blowing.
I mean, I don't have any reason to not believe you. I do not like night drinking these days. It is way too easy to have a hangover. Because I did that for a Columbus Crew game recently. Oh, boy. Like, it probably did not help that I finished with 2 barrel-aged beers that were, like, 12%.
That's what did you. Yes, sir. Yeah.
But I did have plenty of water on the way back. But, yeah, maybe not the best plan to have a couple of 11 plusers in there.
No, I was just watching. And then my dad, I was talking to my dad, my brother, people. Like, people coming out of the woodworks text me congrats like I was part of the game. But I'm like, okay. Like, yeah, I deserve this. You're right. So, man, I went from having Lloyd Carr, who couldn't figure out how to beat Jim Tressel, but still some decent teams, to getting Rich Rod, who comes in and destroys the program. I don't care if he wasn't supported or not. You got a, you have no running quarterbacks, and you decide to install your. Anyways, then you get Brady Hoke with a fake, like fake one good year, and the Harbaugh thing started off good, went downhill, and it came back, and it's like, finally, like this is what was supposed to happen as soon as he took over, which is absolutely unreasonable, but you know fans aren't supposed to be reasonable. That's why I just let them do what they want.
It's kind of unfortunately in the description there. People occasionally forget that that is short for fanatic.
Yeah, it's like it's a complaining about how people cheer or loathe the team they cheer for. It's just stupid. Just who cares?
Oh, I do get a little annoyed with that.
I mean, every fan base does it, but it's like, what are you complaining about? Just ignore them. All right. I mean, you ain't at the games. If you are at the games, a little harder, of course. But yeah, just so. And then you know, went to bed, and then Wednesday, was it Wednesday? No, Tuesday. Yeah, yesterday. All hell breaks loose. Nick Saban retires. Pete Carroll gets fired / moves up, and then Belichick parts ways. Like. Huh?
Yeah, it was a wild, wild week for football, and obviously not just college.
And I guess I have to add this in to be fair. Harbaugh hasn't made a decision what he's going to do, even though he's under contract. Like he's under contract through 2026. So
that's one where I don't know. You know, I guess if you want to win a Super Bowl, you got to get back into the NFL. Now that you won a national championship, but it always seems like that. That seems like a weird time to want to follow that one. You know.
Yeah.
Why not want to at least repeat? You know, it's college. It's way more possible than in the pros.
Oh, for sure. Well, he kept talking about his dad winning a national championship. John won in 2012. Right?
Yeah, it was a while ago.
So he went to 2012. It's 2023. They haven't even been back to the Super Bowl. You know?
Ravens
haven't, I don't think, have they?
No.
Yeah.
Hold on. Oh, no. They haven't.
Yeah. So, I mean, it shows you how hard it is. So there's no guarantees. Oh. Or, you know, especially for him, he's a god now. I mean,
oh, because what know, was it? I guess I was a little bit shocked about the time period, honestly, when I saw how many years it had been.
Nine.
No. From when Michigan won, was it?
Yeah, 97 to now.
Oh, 97.
Yeah. So it's. Yeah, but. And it's been up and down.
Yeah.
Doing it to themselves.
It seems kind of wild. Like, I guess if you have any investment in that program, like, I guess you at least see the contract out and just say, hey, I'm tapping after this. Yeah. And
well, I mean, I think one of the big things is to see what the NCAA is going to do. He put down his own. You know, his own suspension to start the season because of that stuff. And then because of the cheeseburger bullshit. And then this other crap, whatever. But apparently, you know, I love how rumors get started. Because as soon as this goes into that, as soon as Saban retires, immediately Dan Lanning from Oregon was in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. From Oregon?
Oh.
He's their pick. He's going to be their guy. He's and then one of their own TV stations reported he's meeting with the Alabama people right now. And it comes out today, Dan Lanning goes, I was at the movies with my family yesterday when the news came out.
All I saw is the headline was he is definitely not leaving Oregon.
Nor should he. I mean, if you like it up there, that's fine. You're funded by Nike, for Christ's sake.
Yeah,
who? You have you'll never want for anything.
Yeah, that one seems like a hard one to want to pass up, you know? Like, what do you accomplish going to Alabama, really?
A fatal blow to your career. That's what you're going to get. If you win 10 games, you're screwed. You win 11, you're screwed. You better win 12 and go to the SEC championship every year, or you're not Nick Saban. So,
yeah, that is no matter who replaces all of those, the NFL ones in some ways weren't completely surprising. I don't know how old Saban is, but I mean,
72.
Okay, so he's a little bit younger than Carroll and Belichick, but not by a lot. Like, I would guess like 4 or 5 years, something in that area. There's definitely something about I could understand wanting to tap out at that point, you know?
Well, it doesn't sound like Belichick is ready to go. Either same with Pete Carroll. But yeah, Saban? Well, apparently Saban, conducted an interview for assistant coach, got done with the interview, went to his office, 5 minutes later met the team where he announced he's retiring. Like, apparently it was a regular workday from, like, what all the reports are. That's some weird stuff. Like, wait, what?
Oh.
But, you know, and especially not to even give him, like, a contingency plan. I mean, fuck Alabama, don't get me wrong. But, I mean, he's got no one. They're talking about Tommy Rees taking over as a potential head coach. You're out of your mind.
Well, and I don't know if who all was left there as far as the assistant coaches went, because for some reason I feel like, Bill O'Brien moved on from there?
Wasn't he with the Patriots? Or
He was with the Patriots. Oh, yeah, I think he is actually with the Patriots now.
I can't remember.
He's kind of bounced around between those two a little bit.
One of the funniest things I
guess I was just thinking that I thought he did a good job at Penn State, honestly. I thought he was better there than James Franklin is.
Well, that was one of the names that got mentioned for Alabama. And I went, wait, what? It was like him, Dabo Sweeney, of course. If you're from around here, you know that's where Dabo started.
No. So
there's always been rumors if Saban retired, he would go.
I mean, he's the only guy that could probably might be able to pull things off.
Hey, Clemson's not exactly tearing it up right now.
His
recruiting's not what it used to be. So,
yeah, I'm wondering if maybe a change of scenery might not be so bad for Dabo. The ACC is completely screwed in that situation if they lose Florida State and Clemson loses their it coach, honestly. Even if things aren't as good as they were, you know. Still one of the better programs?
Yeah, but it's been 2 years in a row now with their own, I mean, really it's the ACC. You shouldn't, they shouldn't ever be bad in there.
Oh, yeah.
They lost, like, 4 games this year? Something like that? And it's like, all right, like, Florida State getting better. All right, they finally got, like, a seemingly consistent head coaching now that's going to stay there. But then, who the hell else is in the ACC? North Carolina can't get out of their own goddamn way because they don't understand you're supposed to play defense.
They always seem to have a good offense, but they do not seem to be able to recruit on the other half of the ball for some reason.
Yeah, and that's it. Oh, it drives Eric crazy. every week, every weekend we're texting about it.
Yeah, they end up losing like 56-48 every game that they lose.
Yeah.
It's just
especially
like,
they're blowing late game leads too. And then getting run by North Carolina State didn't help too. But
I didn't pay that much attention to their season. But
I mean, it's easy to around here. And also, you know me, it's like especially the YouTube, they have the boxes now. It's great. So
I see their one game against Pitt, maybe, and that's my extent.
Well, I saw Narduzzi made it through. I wasn't sure if he was going to stay there, but
yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens. It can't be worse, and I don't know if I'm maybe regretting them not getting Kyle McCord. We'll see here.
Yeah, you never know. It's weird he went to Syracuse?
Sure. Yeah, Syracuse.
Syracuse. Jesus. I don't know if I've ever actually said that word out loud. Maybe. But well, speaking of wait and see, I guess we can transition to wrestling real fast.
Yeah, I mean, that is going to be the end of college football talk here on Stunt Granny Audio.
Unless something drastic happens. Did you and Chris talk about R-Truth again?
How do you not talk about R-Truth, okay, sir?
Because he needs his own weekly segment.
I mean, because we didn't completely go over it, like, scene by scene. But that guy is a national treasure. Like, every notification from the WWE that pops up from YouTube and I see R-Truth in it, I pop in there and at least watch it, usually like it.
I missed all of Raw because I was watching the national title game. And I was like, I'll watch it the next day. And I got on Instagram. Is it Instagram or X? And they showed that video package. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I was like, wait a minute. What's going on here? I had no idea what was happening. I was like, this is one of the best things I've ever done. Because one, it was stock footage. Two, it was footage from an original R-Truth documentary they put out.
Oh my God, I did not know that part.
Yes, WWE did a documentary about him. About him like meeting like his old teacher and all this stuff. And some of that was filmed like right down the street at Freedom Park. So I was like, for you know, local stuff. And then he just starts adding bad Photoshops and stuff. Like, and then I'm like, this doesn't make any sense. Like, he's gone from being goofy to being, as Wade Barrett astutely, correctly pointed out, he's delusional. So it's like, okay, so now he's, like, is he that smart? And he's been fooling us the whole time with, like, his cunning? You know? He has the match. Miz has the match with JD McDonagh. He celebrates with Miz and then goes, oh, well, I got to go. Like, and that's when Wade Barrett said a very delusional R-Truth. And I'm like, he's not wrong. But I think I've asked this before. And if not, I'm going to ask it now. Why? Why is this happening?
Because
it's, you know what I mean?
Because it's funny?
But this came out of nowhere. He shows up, I know I've said this, he shows up in a Ruffles commercial, and the next week he's doing Judgment Day stuff. No, or was it Monday with the Jelly Roll? Yeah. Wasn't Jelly Roll there? The next day, or Monday following, he ends up in Judgment Day's clubhouse, and since the go, he's been interacting. Like, I don't get it. Judgment Day was the big act, and all of a sudden Triple H and Creative was like, hey, we got this instead.
I mean, it's this weird thing that they're still tag champs, but they did decide to derail them. But, I mean, it's hard to say that you're derailing them when they're involved in the best segments on the show.
For a very strong product right now, as WWE is, the fact that R-Truth is the one thing that's getting like some of the biggest hits on their social media is craziness. And it's a testament to him and a testament to whoever figured out, hey, this is going to work. And he is the black Sami Zayn. That's all this is. This is Sami Zayn all over again, but with a delusional twist.
They're oh my gosh. That's one of those things where stuff does definitely get recycled in wrestling. But oh my god, AEW sometimes they are doing it at the same time.
What are they doing?
The one offhand that I'm thinking of, Wardlow handing over his title. The guy just got done complaining about handing over a title to MJF, but he's going to get stuck in a Groundhog's Day situation here.
Yeah, but like we talked about, though, that's just going to be, you know, that ain't going to happen.
Demeanor definitely suggests that there could be other things in mind for when that happens.
Yeah, it's... Like, that whole thing's going to take forever anyways. And it's good. Never mind. I was going to be mean. But it's a... so real quick. So the R-Truth. Cody and Shinsuke was really good. I love he missed it the wrong guy. I don't know why I got a kick out of that. Like, oh, you don't see him. You don't see people miss the wrong person very often. And I mean, like... an outside person.
And he really blasted that dude.
He paid for it. I'm sure he's probably some OVW. Or I'm watching.
Oh, what was he? He's Cody's like third cousin removed or some shenanigans like that. Right.
All right. But I liked Seth and Jinder. It's that time of year where it's coming out Royal Rumble time. Isn't this a time of year to, like, give the test out? You know, I know it's Jinder Mahal, but it's something to preoccupy Seth for a little while. So I'm all for it.
I mean, he's been a world champion before.
Yeah.
So
long-running one, too.
Yeah, it would not be completely surprising. Like, I don't know what... You know, it's always one of those ones where I don't know what they've done with him and Indusheer. Like, they pop up every now and again, and then it doesn't ever seem like there's any follow-through. You know, like, it just feels like, are you guys going to stick with these guys or not? Like, that's really my main problem.
Yeah, it really is. It's like, I don't know if one of them's sick or hurt or whatever it is, but... Yeah, it is a constant back and forth with those guys. So it's impossible to get behind them or hate them.
There needs to be some consistency.
Yeah. So I don't mind, like, I know apparently Tony Khan didn't like Jinder Mahal, but whatever.
Well, it was a dual thing. Like, evidently he felt like people were shitting on Hook, getting a chance at Samoa Joe, and it's just like, dude, I didn't see that sentiment out there.
I didn't see that either. And in fact, that actually makes sense. Hey, really, if people are going to... All right, say people did complain. Shouldn't they be complaining Hook hasn't gotten a shot at any other title in the meantime?
Yeah. I
mean, he's right. He's lost one time in the 4 years they've been around. So, yeah.
That's why I just kind of had to chuckle, though, where even on air, they made it sound like we needed to defend having Hook as a challenger here situation. Yeah. I'm just like, oh, guys, this is kind of embarrassing. Like, because like you said, like, he deserves it. Like, there's no way around it. Like, yeah, he's 28-1. Like, this kid does nothing but win. And I mean, even if you, I don't even know if that's counting as tag team matches.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because he probably has been in a majority of victories in the tag team matches he's been in, too.
Yeah. So, yeah, like, I know what the cause was, but it's also like, shut up, stupid. Get off Twitter or X.
Oh, yeah.
Shut up. Because you're not, I mean, and then him going into it, it's like, well, no, because your booking sucks doesn't give you the right to go and say, hey, theirs sucks too. Fix your stuff. How about you take the time, your time and energy you're putting into to talking to faceless entities and, like, fix it. Like, like, explain to me how we're having, like, number one contenders, like, tournaments. Like, as someone pointed out, well, you had Abaddon, who hasn't won anything, get a TBS title shot. She goes, well, no, she returned and she was in a four-way to earn a shot at it. Well, that doesn't make it better. You know, like, if the person that never wins shouldn't be in a number one contenders match. And that goes for every company.
Yeah.
But yeah, but it's like, just, I don't know. He's weird.
Oh, yeah. He gets way too touchy to me on Twitter. Like, I'm like, I'm sorry, guys. This just concerns me. Like, that's not the type of person I want. You know, I don't feel like Triple H is out here even tweeting anything remotely close to that.
No, because he's an adult. Like, he's running a billion-dollar company, the creative of a billion-dollar company. Where this guy's running, I guess, creative of a million-dollar company. You know, there's a difference. Yeah. No, I don't care if it's tens of millions or hundreds of millions. It's not a multi-billion-dollar company. Plain and simple. So, yeah, there's a maturity there, but it's also, you know there's a pressure there. And because, face it, face it, AEW's attendance is going down. Look at how goofy they shot that show Wednesday. And before we go into that, since we got to transition to AEW, I also really like CM Punk and Drew McIntyre.
Uh-oh.
Just two dudes that are like, we're going to beat each other up. Keep talking, I'm going to punch you in the mouth. And it's like, yeah, this is pretty cool. Like, yeah, all right.
Yeah, I feel like if Drew kind of stays on that, it's kind of interesting. Both of them are playing that more of a gray area character.
Yeah.
Where they're like, yeah, I'm just going to do what I need to do here, people. Like, because it's kind of fun that Drew isn't buddy-buddy now with Judgment Day. And kind of, at least in Damian Priest crosshairs. Not sure about everyone else on that team, but...
Well, I just felt that was more of like a business transaction anyways. So...
Yeah, I feel like that's the way, like, Finn and them are looking at it.
Yeah, but I just want to point that out. I really enjoyed those.
Yeah.
It always crashed over with Punk, though, because he's always making, like, thinly veiled references to, like, his AEW troubles and WWE troubles. And then I also like how they keep bringing up the past. He's like, well, if you want to raise your hand and pledge yourself to straight-edge society, we'll shave your head right now. And I'm sure there's a bunch of people in that crowd have no idea what he's talking about.
Yeah, I mean, that was quite some time ago.
Yeah, and I did like Punk kind of breaking character when McIntyre said, you've been here a month, or it's been 4 weeks, I'm surprised you're still here. Yeah, that's right, you haven't self-destructed already, and Punk actually got like a little laugh out of it.
He's like, yeah.
All right, you got me on that one. Like, you don't see that, but he's one that can get away with it, so. But to go to AEW... Yeah. I actually didn't mind this show at all. It's got its bad points, as you found out, too. But you can tell the popularity wasn't there because they couldn't help but brag about that place. And they would show you a full crowd. Because remember, that's an amphitheater. That thing goes up. You never saw the crowd. Never. Anything of the air of the people in the elevated seating.
I was trying to figure out if they had put the ring in a slightly different location than they had previously.
Okay, so.
Because the one thing that tipped me off was I didn't feel like the Daily's Place sign was that close.
Okay, so that's the thing. What they did was they put people on the stage, and they did this the last time they were there too. Because before they used to come out. That's where they used to come from.
Oh,
So
okay.
hard cam was dead center. Well, instead they had hard cam on the side, so you could see the entrance when they would come out with the Daily's Place sign there. But it gave you bad sight lines. That was the problem. I don't know why they configured it that way, other than they didn't want to take up seats because they didn't want to put people in the upper parts because they weren't sold. That's my guess, but
Oh.
not being able to see the upper decks, I have no idea if they sold that place out. I'm guessing they didn't because they would show that crowd all the time if that was the case. But that's aesthetics, and but it also shows a decline in business. And then also, like, the crowd that was there was vocal, and they were into the show, which helped a lot.
Yeah, last week was really bad with the crowd, honestly.
Yeah.
So this one was much better than that.
They legitimately helped some of the stuff because some of the matches were pretty lackluster, but I understood the meaning behind them. I mean, like the 8-man tag. Why? And also, boy, this is what AEW does to people. Adam Copeland was the guy. Oh my God, Adam Copeland, Edge is here. And now he's just another guy in an 8-man tag. It's like, wow. And he wanted to put him on TV, but it didn't feel like he mattered at all in that match.
And I guess that was the other thing I was going to mention that was kind of interesting. Like, I understand why it happened. A, the announcer's trying to sell Preston Vance as a main eventer had me howling. I'm like, you have got to be kidding me, people.
Tony
Like,
Schiavone actually said Brody Lee took him from a mid card and elevated him to, like, well, a main event spot. I, no, like, it's okay to just say he took him under his wing as a rookie and helped bring him up. And he's following his legacy, not following his legacy, but he's honoring his legacy by getting further and further along, getting to the top, something, anything. But
yeah.
also, wasn't Preston Vance in Rush's group, the bad guys?
Yeah. I mean, that's why Jose was at ringside.
Yeah, what's going on? But I mean, they didn't want to present him as a bad guy because he was supposed to be for,
Yeah,
Brody
for.
Lee,
Yeah.
who, by the way, was a bad guy. But I know not in real life, but the character. By the way, his name's not Brody Lee, so it's fine. And Anna Jay, that whole match, fine. Like, they weren't
No.
terrible, so cool. The whole show, the last two AEW shows to me have just felt like they're reestablishing things. Like, just showing, here's new
Oh.
stuff. And to go to the Hook part, I mean, I liked Samoa Joe coming out, talking, Swerve interrupting, Adam Page coming out. And then Hook. So it's like, oh, we have three guys right there. So, giving you something to look forward to, hopefully and possibly, which is not something they always do.
Oh, yeah, the planning seems to be in place a little bit more currently than, like, yeah, you can at least kind of see the outline of what they're trying to do, which
Right.
is it is nice.
Yeah, and that's
It
I
hasn't
guess
felt
this
like
was
that in a while.
Yeah, and I guess that's why I've enjoyed these shows. I know they're not like blockbuster, and they're not, you know, people aren't going to remember these.
Right.
But I mean, they had to do something. They have to establish their people again because that Continental Classic took so much time away from everybody. So,
well, and some of these people honestly just need reintroduction in some ways.
Well, sure. If they were saying that the pay-per-view is March 3rd, I mean, they got a long time to get there. So, okay, yep. Good. And I'm hoping they don't do some stupid four-way match with Joe, Paige, Strickland, and Hook. Although I know Hook is getting the shot next week.
Yeah. So I don't think it's going to be a four-way. I think there's a very, very real chance that it's a three-way, though.
I don't like that either. But I don't know.
I mean, that's just the feeling for me. Like, it just because of the way they positioned it, and they had Adam Page win earlier in the night to at least get some heat back, especially since it was against Claudio. So it wasn't just some walkover opponent.
Right. And, no, I thought that was pretty important, actually.
Yeah.
Establish him on something. He didn't be like, you know, John Silver or something. Not is John Silver?
No. Yeah. You're right.
Who's Reynolds? What's Reynolds' first name then? It's been so long.
Oh no, that's Alex Reynolds.
Alex Reynolds, that's it. All right.
I almost called him Brian Reynolds, but that's the center fielder for the Pirates.
Yeah, there's always a bunch of Reynolds, you know, but. No, so I guess that's why I liked it. I'm trying to think. I still don't understand the Toni Storm, Mariah May thing. Like, she's not quite a Mickie James stalker, but she clearly doesn't want anything to do with you.
Yeah, that's the problem that I have. I'm like, it makes Mariah May look like a bit of a doofus to me. You know, right. When we were talking about her debut last week, and it just continued this week, where it's just like, yeah, Toni Storm just completely dismisses her. And it's just like, that's not helping her character.
Yeah. I mean, she even said she was sent... God damn it, I forgot what she said. Why she didn't see it. She was at a screener... Or she had a screener she was looking at or something else.
Oh.
And, like, she couldn't watch all week because of that. But, I mean, of course, you know, Toni Storm's doing the, you know, Hollywood starlet, you know, deluded, arrogant thing.
Oh, so right.
It just fits. But, yeah, it's... Okay.
Well, yeah, there's still got to be some, like, there's at least, like, what is it, with Luther, like, she's telling him to do stuff now, and he does it, you know, like, even if it's an adversarial relationship, or, you know, not one built on respect, there needs to be some, you know, bond there that forms, and it just doesn't feel like there's any type of bond between Mariah May and Toni Storm.
Yeah, and it's like Mariah May is the one that's imposing on her, though, so maybe that's part of it, and maybe she's going to do something to help earn the trust, you know? It's new in the storyline, but yeah, she does look like a doofus.
Well, it's not new in the storyline. She's been hanging around, like, when did she debut? Sometime last year, right?
But I'd say it's only been about a month, right?
It hasn't been long.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, yeah,
that show, it's only 4 weeks, you know,
But yeah, I mean, they haven't done much for her, though. And you know what? It might be 2 months, actually, now that I come to think of it, because it took her a while to wrestle, and now it's been like a week since she wrestled.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was talking about Adam Copeland is just another dude now. Thunder Rosa is just another woman. Like she stood a little bit more in that eight person match, but
yeah, I was shocked. I didn't realize how much dark colors are beloved in wrestling these
Oh,
days.
yeah. Yeah.
'Cause like she had the all yellow on, and I'm like, that's a choice. That was a strong choice in the wrestling gear outfit. Because if people go bright, they really go like pastel-y or like the neon look that Trinity has. Like they
Yeah.
really go for those like super vibrant colors, and that was just like a flat yellow, and I'm like, huh. Well, that's something. There's a
Yeah,
lot of
because
black and there's a lot of gold.
well, especially with Willow and Chris Statlander. And by the way, and I mean this as bad as this is gonna sound. When did Chris Statlander get that way? Like, after her injury, she must have just been throwing weights down. Because, hey, she is physically bigger. I was gonna say thicker, but that's not what I'm going for, even though it kind of is what she is.
That did also happen. I feel
Yeah.
like.
But it's like, she looks rugged. Like, solid, you know?
Yeah, I
You
mean,
know?
she pulled the old just about anybody routine here, I feel like recently. I feel like a lot of people have come back super jacked after their injuries.
But she's keeping it on. Most of the time they come back super jacked and then they start to like slowly dissipate.
Oh.
But I guess it's also maybe the health of, only working one time, working one day a week. Unless you pulled a collision. But
No.
yeah, I was trying to think what else was on the show. I don't really remember. Oh, the Adam Cole stuff, whatever. Like, it just doesn't go anywhere. Because they can't. So,
honestly, 'cause you just about covered it, 'cause there was Ricky Starks and Sammy Guevara. Did we cover that one in any way, shape, or form?
I forgot it was on the show.
Yeah, I mean that happened. Sammy Guevara actually beat Ricky Starks.
Yeah, clean too.
Yeah.
So I know Sammy's the good guy, but I think the one thing I really remember about this match is they're shaking hands. Of course, Big Bill interferes and hits him. And then Chris Jericho came out to an aborted version of Judas. But he ran out, and all of a sudden it was in the chorus. Like, hey, sing, don't boom, sing, sing, sing. Like, and then get the commercial. Jeez.
It was kind of a weird situation that went on there. It did th that segment did not seem to flow the way it should have.
No. And
'Cause
then,
yeah, after that is the main event is the only other thing that we haven't talked about.
man, this match wasn't bad, but there was so much bad in it. One, from a safety standpoint, someone's got to step in and tell Darby, you can't keep doing this. Like, you're not going to be able to walk eventually. You know, like earlier in your life than later. And
I honestly could not believe I had the wife watch this, so I got a second crack at watching this on a full-size TV. And I watched that spot where he jumps off of the railing or whatever. And I thought I noticed it when I kind of had the side eye on the phone at the office. And I confirmed it on the big screen TV. He basically just hit that ramp on his own, and what's his name fell down beside him.
oh, Takeshita forgetting to catch him?
Takeshita just fell down beside him with maybe his arm cushioning Darby Allin. Maybe.
Let's not forget that rolling German suplex on the outside.
Oh my God.
then, very cool move. I think they just overshot it, but the whole swinging him and then like throwing him across the ring, and then Darby doing the spin to make it look even worse. That's a really cool move, but he also smacks his head on the ropes, which are not ropes at all. And it's like, oh my God. And then...
Yep. That he Darby Allin is eternally under the I am going to enjoy while it happens, because there is no way he doesn't turn into Matt or Jeff Hardy, you know, and just be a victim of their success.
Yeah. But the main event, like, I know I'm not supposed to think this way because he's a legend. He's met. I can't wait for Sting to retire and take Ric Flair with you. I was looking at the text I sent you. Dude, bunch of dots, the main event. Just, I can't. You'll know exactly what I'm referring to. And you come back with later. Ric Flair's spot in the ring with a bunch of laughing faces. Yes. Holy shit. They tried to cover him getting in and out of the ring by cutting away, but he was so slow we were missing action in the ring.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, they tried to minimize it, but it took him so long. I'm like,
he's 70-something years old, right?
Yes.
I mean, he is an old-looking 70.
My father definitely does not have the wear and tear on his body that Ric Flair 74. Does.
Yeah, he's 74.
And he's so older than Ric Flair.
Yeah, and it's like, and also your dad's not trying to do the same jobs he used to. Well, actually, it's your dad. He probably is, but whatever. It's a bad example. But say if your dad had like a man, like not just, but he did have like, you know, he almost died on the operating table, all this shit, and right. All his demons and all this stuff, right?
Yeah.
You just see Rick get in the ring. I'm like, what's he doing? And he's like talking to Will Hobbs. I'm like, they are not going to give Ric Flair a bump. No way. And then he comes in and he chops Will Hobbs. And I just went, no. Hobbs didn't sell it. Oh, thank God. He tried it again. Hobbs like, no. And then Flair misses the eye poke.
Of all the things that happened in that segment, I'm like, okay, I'm glad we got out of this without... They teased it for a little bit there, but we really got out of it without something drastically bad happening to Ric Flair.
Yeah. That's honestly what I think is going to happen at the pay-per-view. He's going to take a bump. And it would be poetic and hilarious if he does cost Sting his last match. And it's like Sting just never learns. You know? But yeah, there was just that stuff. And I'm like, then he's trying to get out of the ring. Takeshita's just looking at him like, get out of the fucking ring. I'm looking like an asshole right now because I'm not just beating you down. So then Flair's just slowly getting out. And finally she goes, God, get the fuck out of the ring. I didn't even know she was awake. So, and it's like, yeah, come on.
It's rough to have Ric Flair involved in anything right now. Like, I feel like that was one of the reasons why I just couldn't go to see him signing for his Woo energy drink, like within 10 minutes of the house. It's just, it just feels embarrassing now to want to meet Ric Flair. It's just like, this guy is really just trying to milk. None of that positive stuff that I've said about greatest wrestler or, you know, most fun, all that good stuff, that stuff all still applies, but God damn, man. Like, this just feels like just really trying to grip onto popularity that really isn't there anymore.
I think he's still plenty popular, but I think
Well,
for
yeah.
nostalgia kick, not for anything he's doing now. Like, I remember I got burned by his last match where he laid there like a slug most of the time because he was just that grossly out of shape for being in the ring. And
Yeah.
I'm just sitting there, oh my God, this is just shit in the bed. And then they start fighting on the stage. Darby jumps off. Takeshita doesn't catch him.
Oh.
And then, so Sting looked out of it at the end. But I was trying to figure out if he hit his head earlier when him and I think Hobbs were fighting on the stage.
Oh.
Because
Did not pay attention to that aspect.
he looked woozy. So I was like, all right. And then they go and they do that spot off the table. And I'm like, or through the table, I'm like, this isn't going to end well. That table's too close. Those tables are too close. And I watched it a bunch of times. Hobbs actually puts his hand underneath Sting's head when they go down.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they have done a great job of trying to protect Sting in all of these stunts that he has pulled late in his career here.
Oh yeah, like the boxes that were full of peanuts or whatever. The backstage thing.
Yeah, I mean, ha, they made sure to set that thing up, like, 'cause I mean, that was another thing that it's clear that because of Sting's age, they were not like Darby Allin and just fucking throwing himself off of stuff. Like, they really took the time to set that up to minimize any type of damage, and then it still seemed like damage happened anyway.
Yeah, I mean he either hit his head with even with Hobbs' hand under him, or he got the wind knocked out of him. Because you could see him and Darby
Oh.
talking at the end, and Darby's like, "You all right? Whatever else." He's like, "Okay." And then Tony Schiavone's clueless. Just take some time, my friend. Audible. Like, just someone say, "Hey, he's messed up," and then talking about their opponent. And the music hits, and I just went, "Oh, the Young Bucks?" I was like, "Oh, that's cool. We haven't seen them since, I guess they said November. We haven't
Oh.
seen them in a while. Cool." And then they came out, and I immediately went, "I didn't miss these guys at all. Like, I don't care."
I guess I think they're as good a final opponent as anyone, really.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know who his opponent should have been.
Yeah, 'cause I mean Sting. And that's the one thing that I don't feel like he's done a whole lot of singles matches in AEW, maybe
No.
one.
No, I don't think he's done one. I think they've all been tag.
Okay. So yeah, I mean he's been smart. It's gonna be a tag match. The Young Bucks, honestly, it would be great if Sting did the job going out of the territory. It to the Bucks just for them to be able to brag about it. AEW is the place to go if you want to have a creepy mustache these days.
Man, I was even noticing Hangman Page's mustache with
Yep.
his beard is like Silas Young's.
Yes. Yeah,
So.
'cause and I'm trying to think Adam Page, 'cause the Young Bucks.
Roderick Strong.
Oh, Roderick Strong.
Yes.
Yep. The stash, very popular in AEW at the current moment. But
Yeah,
yeah, I
it's.
mean, I don't know, like, there isn't gonna be, like, Ricky Steamboat isn't gonna give you a good, match for Sting to go out on,
No.
Like I so the Young Bucks seem as good. I guess that's what I was getting at. Like, it's gonna be a tag match. Why not the Bucks? And I mean, even if the Bucks lose, like, whatever, you know what I mean?
Exactly, who cares?
That's fine. The Young Bucks can bounce back from that. Like, it's a whatever. You know, it's Sting's last match. If you want to give him the dub on the way out, great. You know, like, if you want to send, if that's the main event and you want to send everyone home happy because Sting got a dub in his last match, great. You know, like, yeah. I got no beef with that.
Yeah, and that's got to be the last match for that card, but we'll see.
Yeah, oh.
But
one yeah, would but like, think.
After that, though, it's a, the show was fine. It wasn't offensively bad.
No, I think we agreed. Like, they seem to be getting, they may actually be organized again. Despite Tony Khan's craziness on Twitter this week, the product at least seemed to be aiming in a direction it hasn't in a while.
Yeah, forward. So, it's, yeah.
Yeah. But. Because I figured that in some ways we would have a hard time talking about wrestling just because I felt like NXT was in the same mode this week where they're just kind of like reestablishing things and getting things organized. Like, other than, you know, again, like, I guess the main event is something that was a bit surprising. But, also not surprising in some ways.
Okay, so we go to the main event. Let's start there. When has that contract become, I can cash it in? I always thought they had to pick their spot. Even if it was like the day of, they would say, hey, I want a match tonight. When did it become Money in the Bank?
I feel like at least last year it became Money in the Bank.
Huh.
Yeah, I don't think this is the, this isn't the first year, I don't think. But it's still relatively new.
Yeah, and I don't think I like it, actually. I got nothing against this Oba Femi guy. Because you don't know much about him, you know? We know he's new. We know he's a monster. Apparently, he used to play football for the SEC, I guess.
No, he was a shot putter.
That monster was just only a shot putter?
I think so.
All right. God damn.
Because that was the one wild thing about that whole. All the intros for the men's. One was, like, they listed, like, all of the colleges that everyone went to.
Wow.
Shot put for Alabama.
Wow. Okay. I know shot putters aren't small.
Won the title at the SEC Indoor Track and Field Championships in 21 and 22.
Oh, should have.
that gentleman is a monster.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's much more about technique and all that stuff. And strength, of course, but, you know, technique's going to help you. But still, I mean, yeah, I didn't expect that. But the only reason I say that, I don't really like how it ended. I don't like that whole thing either. You're supposed to be the breakout star. Well, shouldn't you have a breakout match? Like, all right. You're going against all these other guys. Let's see how you do with someone above you. You know? And then win or lose, you know, at least it's something. But so now.
Yeah, it's more like a. Because what they. I think that was the tag match on AEW. I kind of like the. I always like the concept from ROH, the Proving Ground match. Where it's just like, oh, yeah, fight the tag. You know, like, it gives it some reason for something that happens a lot in wrestling. It gives you a logic to, you know, the not championship team beating the championship team.
Oh, sure. But
although it didn't happen that much, actually, so.
Yeah, but also, weren't those matches also called non-title matches?
Yes.
Now they're Proving Ground matches, like. Okay.
Yeah, sorry, I mean, it's Scott. A little more direct, I guess.
Yeah. But no, so like, that's like the Oba Femi thing. Eh, whatever.
Well, you know what I would have liked, honestly? I expected Lexus King to get the W.
Yes.
And then he cashes in the contract. And then Lexus King has something to bitch about. Like, after a long, hard match, someone comes in and takes the championship from him.
Exactly. That was my train of thought, too.
So, I mean, that honestly, like, I didn't mind what happened, but it seemed like, because we've probably said it before, but I'll make sure to say it now. Dragon Lee does not need to be in NXT.
No, I think this was a way to get the title off of him so he's not back there anymore.
I do too. So that part really did not shock me in any way that he dropped the championship. But yeah, I would have liked it better if Lexus King would have had a 1 minute championship reign before Obafemi ends up beating him. Because, and then it's also one of those things where, you know, Vic can always go, hey, you know, he brought this upon himself. Like, he's the one that decided to challenge. You know, to talk smack to Obafemi backstage, you know, like there was already, like, they actually had put in the story earlier in the show already.
Yeah.
To just continue this thing.
And it was like a red herring where you're like, oh, this is something's going to go down later or tonight.
Oh,
I was like,
gosh.
Oh, well, it didn't.
Now I'm going to think about the young Scooby-Doo the rest of the night. It was red herring.
Yeah. But wouldn't it have been better to have Obafemi, like, you know, like, call out the winner and then have Lexus King, you know, if Dragon Lee wasn't moving back to SmackDown, like,
no.
Do it that way. Have him cost Obafemi the match, then they had, like, you know, Lexus and Obi have their own feud, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, I don't know if that's the smartest feud to have. You know, both, I mean, Brian Pillman, well, Lexus King is not a bad wrestler, but he looks like a totally different person in every way since coming to NXT.
And it seems like they've changed up his style. Like, I feel like he was in that high-flying kind of style previously, and they have grounded his offense much more. Although, I mean, it is still kind of a limited sample size, but...
Yeah, it really is. But he's already made more of an impression and done something more important in his few months on TV there than he ever did in AEW. That's crazy.
100%.
Not saying it's great, but I'm just saying that's how it is. So...
yeah, he has chewed up more scenery.
Yeah. But, like, this show this week, like, they're doing the Dusty Classic... So we got Baron and Braun right off the bat.
Yeah, which was pretty funny.
Yeah, I think I'll probably enjoy the sketches more, or the vignettes more than I will the matches. But
yeah, because the wife was disappointed. She wanted Hank and Tank to beat Nathan Frazier. And what's his name?
Axiom. But, like, I thought the same thing. I thought that's what was going to happen. But because there's more of a story. Like, you know, there's always been between Nathan Frazier and Axiom a little beef. So, like, all right. But nothing. Like, oh.
Yeah, they could have worked that a couple of ways, honestly. They've just given... The whole Nathan Frazier putting his foot in his mouth gimmick is an interesting one. I don't feel like that leads to a whole lot of W's, though.
No. No. What else is on the show? Oh, you had the tag title match. So I was happy to see they did not lose.
No, you know what? This is the problem that I had with the tag team match. somehow they use that to justify OTM getting a female valet also. They made it sound like the Riz cost OTM the match when all she did was not even touch. I was going to call him Schism, but that's not the right word.
Wait, Tony D?
No. The Riz, the woman.
Alpha Mud.
No. What's Reggie's name? Fuck.
Oh, Scripps.
Scripps. She was supposed to push Scripps off the rope, but, oh boy, that did not go the way it was supposed to, in my opinion.
No. It didn't look like it, no.
And it just really did not help the look of that whole situation. You know, no. Like, I was just like, oh. Because, then they have, what was it, Jada Parker out in the parking lot say, hey, you need some help. You need a problem solver. And I'm like, well, there wasn't any problem. They just lost the match.
Yeah.
Like, maybe your boys just shouldn't lose the match.
Yeah. Well, I guess because a female interfered, so Scripps can't do anything about it. So she's offering her help because she can take her out.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that's, you know, we're introduced, but I mean, again, I guess that's why I kind of put this in that we're introducing new people, because I'm still getting used to the Riz, and obviously this, I think it was Jada Parker, is going to be new in NXT also.
Yeah.
There are just so many women running
There's
around
so many
NXT.
People. I mean, look at all the Chase U female students. And by the way, what are they doing with this? Like, JC James goes, I got an idea, and we're gonna make sure this debt goes away immediately. And I immediately went, is she setting up a prostitution ring? I mean, she is like the bad girl, so
that would be so hilarious if they go that route. Like, I don't think they're going to.
Make it like PG, so like I'm just here for, you know, companionship or whatever, like wink wink. But yeah, I was like, this is so weird. It's just a weird thing to say it like that, especially without Duke and Professor Chase around. So yeah, I don't know. It seems like that one's just kind of spinning its wheels now. Like,
it's lost a little bit of steam. Like, I don't know how you get out of it now.
Yeah, no. Especially when they had the opportunity with, you know, Out the Mud and Scripps. I mean, like, hey, all right, double or nothing. That'll get you out of debt. Right there, that would have been fine. But, you know, too late. So.
It's going to be a tough recovery now.
Yeah. I did like the Josh Briggs.
Noam Dar.
Well, Noam Dar, who did he fight, though?
Oh, Oro Mensa.
That's it. I kept wanting to say
Main Man Mensa.
Yeah. I like the match. I really like the end. You know, Noam Dar tries to interfere. Doesn't work. Briggs pins him and stares at him as Noam Dar, like, kind of sneaks under the ropes to stare back. So even though he's a small dude compared to him, he's not scared of him. I kind of dug that. Because it would have been super easy for, like, the little guy to be cowering in fear, right? Because Josh Briggs is a tall dude.
He is a big man.
Yeah. So, but, and I've always loved the simple lariat clothesline like that as a finisher. I've always loved that. If you can make that, he's got the body type for it. You make it look snug as hell. And it's always convincing. People are always going to pop for it.
Yeah, that lanky, right, big guy body frame really makes that look good.
I mean, hell.
Because I think I saw earlier this week, is he 6'4", I want to say?
Probably.
He's pretty tall, and I'm just like, yeah, He really can lay into it.
Yeah, and it's just, it's a simple thing. I mean, JBL's was great. Oh. Stan Hansen, Bruiser Brody used to do it. I mean,
yeah, with all of the craziness going on, I do feel like there's been some pretty basic finishers that have also gotten over recently, which is pretty weird. Because, I mean, that's one of them. I mean, he's just using a clothesline as a finisher.
Yeah. Yep. And, but, it's different. Like, it's so funny that there's an actual difference between a clothesline and a lariat.
Oh. You know? Yeah, like, and I feel like they've done a decent job of distinguishing between the two. Because, I mean, you've really got to put your body into the lariat.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like, 'cause the clothesline is whatever. You know, you can just do... actually, Jake Roberts used to do the short-arm clothesline, which I always loved, too.
Yeah.
You don't see that very often anymore.
No.
Not like he did it. So... But no, like... Those taller dudes who have, like... They just look powerful anyways. Like if... Tozawa tried doing it. You'd be like, what is this idiot doing? But like a decent dude like that, yeah. So,
yeah.
And it is putting your body into it as well. And it's always like lowering your shoulder and almost like tackling up with your arm. It's crazy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But effective, it just looks like it works.
Yeah. I mean, I look forward to more Josh Briggs.
Yes. Yep. Yep. And then, you know, you got Trick and Mello in the Dusty Cup. All right. That's fine.
Yep.
Something for them to do. But the highlight was easily Tiffany Stratton poorly doing barn work.
Yes. It was Tiff and... Fallon are a...
Yeah.
I wondered if they are going to have them end up teaming in the Dusty Cup for the women.
Yeah, it sounds reasonable.
You know, like it was something that I'm like, because I don't know if they're going to run the... because they did a women's version of it previously, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's Dusty Cup? I don't think so.
Oh, okay. So
they did, because Shotzi and Raquel won it.
Oh, yeah. Right?
I think, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, but it's just like, all right.
Yeah, I was just wondering if that might be ahead, just because... Fallon kind of was like, hey, I didn't expect her to stick around this long. Like, she wasn't completely, like, you know, dissing her after the whole situation. Mm-hmm. I was like, I don't know. There could be a grudging respect thing that they end up getting to. I don't know if they will, but...
I don't see it. Like, the thing was so stupid and absurd. And, like, especially with Tiffany Stratton, of course, strutting off and stepping in horse manure. Because I was like, when is this going to happen? When is this going to happen the whole time? But, like, her expressions, Tiffany's.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so cartoonish that it just works.
Yeah, oh. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they have really set up a bit of a cartoon world there, just with everyone in general, whether it's Chase U or this whole situation. Like, it's very old, like, 80s sitcom-y.
Yeah, yeah, it really is. The whole show's goofy as hell. And it never deviates from the path of weirdness it's on. So... I'm not always giving NXT a pass, but that show is what it is now. And,
uh-oh.
You know, just gotta go with it. But,
yeah.
Yeah, it's... I don't know. the was it Live Oak? No, who started? Was it Valkyria and?
Well, the two things I guess we didn't start about or talk about. The start was Blair Davenport and Nikita Lyons.
That was it. Excuse me. And I couldn't believe Nikita lost clean. Like, whoa. I honestly didn't see that coming.
Yeah, I mean, they gave her the out of the whole you're coming back from the injured knee. The injured knee cost you the match. I don't mind that. You know, have Nikita still come back at a later time to maybe get revenge on Blair. Like, she doesn't need to get revenge right away.
No, and that, but that's... And I guess this is, like, one of the changes they've made. Like, you know, you come back for revenge, and it doesn't work. You know, Nikita Lyons wanted her for taking her out. So what happens? She loses. But she goes to get revenge on her, and it just backfires. So it's an interesting way they're doing it, because... I mean, I expected Nikita Lyons to win.
I've got to admit, I was kind of expecting that myself, but
yeah.
Also wasn't completely surprised when Blair won.
No, because you can tell they've got a thing for her. I mean, now that I think her visa issues and all that are done, you know, she's back and she's been on full time. So,
yeah.
She's unique looking. She wrestles pretty good. So it makes sense, but...
Yeah, and she has pretty good mic skills, so...
Yeah, yes. And I think that was the thing, to go back to the Tiffany Stratton stuff. Man, she really sold, like, that entire goofy thing. Like, the entire goofy scenario. I mean, where she's like, this isn't hard work, this is hell. And of course, you know. And then when she falls into the bathtub, or not bathtub, but like the bath bin.
Yeah.
And just starts kicking, that cracked me up.
That was probably the funniest part to me.
I love Tiffany Stratton. That character is so bitchy, it's great. And then it's always fun to see him, like, you know, get their comeuppance. So she has to do this stuff, and you know, but it's still a lot of fun to watch. And I genuinely enjoyed those.
Yeah.
And I also saw the absurdity of it. She's milking the cow. But, no, was it milking the cow? Yeah, I think it was just milking the cow. And all of a sudden, she has a straw and, like, dirt on her face. And I'm like, what are you doing? Because that wasn't there before. Like, you cleaned a stall. Or, like, what was the first thing she did? Sweep or...
Yeah, I think she was just sweeping. I didn't remember the cow milking, honestly.
Yeah.
She definitely cleaned the horse.
That was it, excuse me. That's what it was. It was cleaning the horse. But.
But yeah, she did become weirdly, like, because that was one thing they did cover when Fallon was talking with her fellow ranch hands, I guess, about wondering why she was so dirty.
Yeah, and that's what made me laugh. She shouldn't have been, but she kept getting dirtier and dirtier. And then she does, like, the hard manual labor, like, of picking up straw. And I did like how she just backed it all in the wheelbarrow. And the one person goes, how's she going to move that? And they're like, she'll figure it out. Like, it's not our problem.
And then they still left it in the stall anyway. Although, I'm going to guess that old Tiff can probably push that around anyway.
Yeah, I think so, too. But yeah, I just thought it was fun. It's exactly what it should have been. It didn't overstay its welcome. You know, it wasn't like one 30 or 20-minute piece. They got broken up.
The breakup helped.
Yeah. So, you know, NXT is just goofy. There's no way around it.
You
accept it or you don't.
Yep.
So.
Bell time beer on your end, sir.
No, I'm drying up. I'm Lions play Sunday.
Okie dokie. Ill-mannered Brewing, Zach Morris, 90 style IPA, 7% ABV, 71 IBUs. It is a very, very tasty beer. from a place that I have tended to stop in a little bit more since it's on the way to Josh's house. So they have some quality beers. Not quite sure what their distribution reach is, but should one find themselves around Columbus, Ill-Mannered Brewing is a very, very good stop to make. They also have good food there. So, yeah, it's a double dip. So, yeah, Ill-Mannered. That is the Belltime beer from Matt DeFrango 11. He is at Granny Maze. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at any other locations, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Amazon. Have a good night, grandkids.
Later, gang.